I don't know if any of you remember Jackson Brown, a popular singer when I was growing up in the 70s. And he came to Reading. I was in Red Bluff, and he came to Reading. And old people go to watch old people sing. So I went. And it was nice. It was a good concert. I had never actually gone to any of his concerts. I went to James Taylor. And I also liked, our singers were James Taylor and Carole King. Elton John was popular then. The Beach Boys, those are the people. And if you don't recognize any of those names, that means I am really old. And you are really young. And Jackson Brown's, one of his famous songs is These Days. And so you might want to Google it at halftime this afternoon. Jackson Brown, These Days. And so interesting, because he wrote it when he was 16 years old, one of the first songs he wrote. And yet it's about a man who's looking back on his life and the regrets of his life. It's a beautiful song, just an instrumental to the guitar, like a James Taylor would sing. And the very last line sings, "Don't confront me with my failures. I have not forgotten them." Isn't that beautiful? You know, you don't have to remind me of my failures. I remember them. I remember them. And that's what I was thinking of when I saw the readings. The failures of these men, of Isaiah. I mean, he's taken up to the throne of God. So he's it's an out-of-body experience. He's in ecstasy. And he's in the direct presence of the full light of the divine presence of God himself. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you see clearly sin. You see the darkness of sin, the badness of sin outside of you, in the world, in another person, and you see it in the mirror too, and you can even feel it at work in you, tempting you. That's Isaiah, and that's why he says, "Oh my gosh, I am doomed. I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, and I feel it." Paul felt that. He says he had been born abnormally because he said the 12 apostles were born normally because they were picked by Jesus. He says, "I am an apostle, but as an abnormal apostle because I didn't live with Jesus for 3 years. I didn't even know him. He converted me. So I'm like an adopted apostle." And so Paul knew, and he says, "I know I'm not worthy. I persecuted the church of God, but I am who I am. He chose me. He chose me." And then Peter, you know, in that gospel, they had not known Jesus for very long, because it says when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. So this is at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He's just calling the apostles. They don't really know him. And I can understand Peter's reaction. Fish don't bite at 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. That's why they're on the shore. That's why they're cleaning out their nets, getting ready to haul them aside for the next day, for the next night. They fish during the night and the very early morning when the fish bite. And now Jesus is saying, first get into your boat again. Get into your boat. And Jesus is teaching. And Peter, he's got to be so tired. Can you imagine working all night and not catching anything? So he's tired, frustrated, just wants to go home, take a hot shower, and watch the Super Bowl. That's probably what he wants to do. That's all he wants to do. And now Jesus is saying, get in the boat, and now throw your nets back in. And he doubted. Of course. Why do we have to do this? He didn't say it out loud, but he was thinking, this is stupid. We're not going to catch anything. They're not going to bite. They didn't bite last night. They don't bite now. Why do we have to do this? That's what he was thinking. And I don't know if he even may have got a little passive-aggressive, because he said, "Master, we've worked hard all night, have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets. I will lower the nets." Now, that's kind of a believing statement, but he was doubting. So it wouldn't have surprised me if he said something like, we haven't caught anything, but it's your command, we'll lower the nets. That's a passive-aggressive statement. And I hope we don't catch anything. So Jesus, you can, so there, see, I was right. And don't tell us, don't make us do this again. That's passive aggressive. And then the boats almost sank. And they knew this was a miracle. Because he said, we've never caught this many fish even at night. The boats are almost sinking. And then he goes to Jesus. Depart from me. I am a sinful man. Your light, your presence has shown me the sin, my frustration, my anger, all that was inside of me. So we see sin. You see it on the news. You see it outside. You see it in people. You see it in yourself. Life has messed you up. Others have messed you up, and you have messed you up. But you haven't messed it up. It is the Lord. You haven't messed the Lord up. Peter did not mess Jesus up. Isaiah didn't mess God up with his reaction. Because God is God. He's not like us. He's like the sun. The sun is not like us. The sun just shines. It doesn't ask, are you good? Are you bad? Are you evil? Are you a saint? The sun just shines on the saint and on the sinner. Just shines, because that's what it does. That's its nature. The sun will shine on your beautiful roses, your beautiful garden this spring, and at the same time, it's going to shine on the garbage down at the dump on Neal Road, because it's the sun. And whether it's garbage or whether it's roses, it doesn't affect the sun. That's like the Lord. He only knows how to love. Okay, kids, song number 2, Ed Sheeran. Do you know that name? Ed Sheeran, Photograph. That's one of my favorite songs by Ed Sheeran. Loving is hard. Loving is hard sometimes, but it's the only thing that I know. Ooh. That's pure truth when you talk about God. He only knows how to love. It's his nature. He is who he is. He's not like us. God is immutable. You and I are mutable. You smile at me, I love you. You look at me bad, I don't love you anymore. We're mutable. We're so mutable, we can't stay constant for one day. Not even for 1 hour. God is immutable. He loves because he loves. Always remember that. You can mess up, but you can't mess him up. His love, his mercy, his healing, his plan to right straight with your crooked lines. Do you believe he can do that? Despite the crookedness of your past or of your present, despite the hand that life has dealt you, the things people have done to you and the things, mistakes you have made, and even the consequences that you may be living with, we all have to live with consequences from life, that God can still write straight? He can still work in your life? I hope so, because if not, there's only one human being he's ever been able to work in, and that would be his mother. There's only been one human being who has gone straight at every single moment of her life. Mary never deviated from God for one moment of her life. We forget what it means to be immaculate. We were all created to be that way. Immutable in our love, in our peace, in our joy, in our mercy, in our purity, in all of our virtues. Immutable. That was Our Lady. So if God has to write straight with straight lines, then only Mary can have God. None of us can. So we have to believe that he can write straight. He can still work in my life, because it's the only thing he knows is love. We can mess up, but we can't mess him up. And so whatever you've done wrong, whatever wrong has been done against you, Jesus still says to you, let's go, let's go. That's what he said to Peter. Yeah, Peter, you just didn't believe. You just You just were kind of sarcastic there, a little passive aggressive there. But I am love, and that does not enter me. Your sin does not enter me. I still love. And so Peter, let's go. Let's go. I'll make you a fisher of men. I still got a plan for your life. So believe, believe. Because our enemy says to us, your crooked lines have ruined it. Have ruined it. God says, no, don't believe that lie. No matter how crooked the line is, I can still work. I can still straighten things out. I can still work in your life. I have many things to teach you. And sometimes the greatest lessons are through the crooked lines and then also through the straight lines. So let's go out into the deep. Let's go, Jesus says. Before we pray the creed, it's a special day because we have trained new Eucharistic ministers. And so we are going to commission them for service.